You're listening to Roundtable Talks on RNIB Connect Radio, where blind and partially sighted people from different walks of life come together to discuss a big topic. And today we're talking about romantic relationships. So everyone looks for different things from their dating life and romantic partners, but does sight loss impact the way blind and partially sighted people date or the partners that they choose? How accessible are dating apps? And when do you tell a date about your disability? Well, today we'll hear from our single and partnered up panellists to learn their thoughts. Our first panellist is Leo Johnson, who is 20 years old and in his second year of university. And he was a mentee at Look UK and is now a mentor and is currently single. Hi Leo, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Our second panellist is Karen Y, who's approaching 60 and was registered partially sighted nearly 10 years ago. She tried dating apps but ended up meeting her current partner through a radio station volunteering role. They became good friends before he fell for Karen's confidence. Hi Karen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Amelia.
And our final panellist is Sarah Stevenson-Hunter, who is a 52-year-old totally blind trans woman. She navigated the dating scene in her early 20s as a young guy before getting married and having children, and then all over again when she came out in her early 40s and went through a divorce. She is now happily remarried and uses her experiences to break down barriers for other disabled and LGBTQ plus people through her company Simply Equality. Thanks so much for joining us, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get started with some date stories. We'll start with you, Leo. What is your most memorable date for good or bad reasons?
I'd probably say my most memorable one was I went on a date when I was in college, and it was with a guy that I knew from secondary school, never had really spoken to him before, and then all of a sudden got a Facebook message from him. Went to a pub near both of our houses, had a nice chat, like got to know each other a bit more. Other stuff happened down the line that didn't end up like working out, but that's probably like the most memorable one because I don't think in a million years I ever would have seen that coming.
That whole of where you meet somebody for a date is it's just a minefield because you don't really get there and be asking your date, excuse me, you know, where's the seat or where's the toilet or whatever, especially if you go to a pub, or in my case, I love live music, so music venues, which are great, but that combination of noisy as well as being totally blind can make things very tricky. So I think sticking to familiar places is a good option, unless you're really brave and you're happy, you know, turn up and say to your date, this is great, can you find us a table and, you know, assist with the menu and stuff like that.
Like, it makes it a lot easier to be somewhere familiar, especially if you're with that person for the first time. And I've found that, like, if I go on a date with someone who already knows before we go on the date that I have sight loss, they're usually quite uncomfortable in a way. If they don't know how to act, they don't know, like, how much I can see, they don't know what is the right thing to say, what's the right thing to do.
I mean, yeah, definitely. I've always been open on dating sites and when I've met people about the fact that I have a visual impairment, I understand why some people might not want to share that because of people's perceptions and assumptions. But on a very practical level, there's no point trying to hide it.
And how about you, Karen?
I did always go to the same pub that wasn't somewhere that I used to go regularly, but I did know where the loo was and it did have waitress service, so or you went up to the bar and got your food. But yeah, I've got enough sight to know that disgusted look, because I have not told people sometimes, and I've rocked up and I've seen that look on their faces and I've gone, you know, because I do use a white cane, the proper white cane with the ball on, because it just makes it easier for the way my sight is. So even though I'm partially sighted, I can look like a blind, proper blind person. Sounds weird to say proper blind person, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, I find that really interesting because I lost all my vision about 11 years ago. But before that, I've always had issues with my vision. So when I was dating, like sort of, well, probably 20, 30 years ago when I was married first time around, it was different because I did have some vision. And so I do remember that whole thing of, you know, I wasn't using a long cane all the time, but that's that whole thing of do you, don't you? Do people understand different types of canes? What are you saying to people? But I think I've just always taken the decision that I am me and I'm open about who I am. Whilst I appreciate that's not a luxury that everybody has, I've just made the decision that I'd rather be with somebody who from the offset knows who I am and is happy with that.
Yeah, I guess like I agree with like it's always good to be open. I guess I struggle with like when is a good time when you're talking to him, or like when do I think is a good time, because I like question it a lot. It's probably never like a bad time to mention it because it's part of me. And if I'm gonna like have a relationship with someone, it's something that they're gonna have to know. They're gonna have to know that part of me. But I guess like at the minute, it's for me, it's like how do I bring it up in conversation, and what will their response to that be? Because I've had like lots of different responses through being on dating apps. I think I kind of prefer it when people do ask questions when they're unsure, because obviously every visually impaired person's vision is going to be different to some degree. But the best responses I've probably had to that are people who are like, okay, they ask the questions that they need to so that they can understand and they want to understand it. And then they just move on. Like, it's not like a big topic that has to be brought up all the time. It's just something that's mentioned and we move on from it.
This is bringing up stuff for me from when I was 20 and when I met my ex-husband. At that time, if I had to wear glasses, they were really, really thick glasses, and they were the really thick ones. But I could wear contact lenses then and I looked normal. So when I met my first husband, or whatever I want to call it, and it was, again, not through dating apps. It was in the late 80s, but it was a dating kind of thing. He didn't know I couldn't see. He didn't know I wore glasses even, because he saw me with my contact lenses in. So he didn't know how bad my eyes were until we were really married, really. So I was living with him. Then he saw me with my thick glasses on and he was like, I like prefer you with my contact lenses on. My contact lenses I could only wear like for 8 hours because they were gas permeable ones. So I lied to my ex-husband. I never told him how bad my eyes were for years. I don't think he ever realized that I was going to go blind. I don't think I ever had that conversation with him. It just never even occurred to me. So I sort of understand where Leah's coming from, thinking, ooh, Leo can't hide like I could, and I hid.
Yeah, and I think I would echo that. I'm early 50s. I was at uni, early 90s, and the whole uni thing, you know, I had some vision then, as I said earlier. I should have been using a long cane earlier than I was, but, you know, nobody wants to use one if you can avoid it, certainly at uni. And it's really tricky. Because let's face it, we know there's prejudice and discrimination and people's attitudes towards disabled people. So I probably also tried to hide it. You know, I wore thick glasses. I think I broke 2 pairs of glasses in my first 2 months by walking into a tree. Just because you don't want to obviously look like you're visually impaired. But it is tricky. And I think, I've got the benefit of being older and wiser when I met my now second wife. It was just that point of being, well, you know, stuff it. I'm just going to be upfront about it. But I think you have to have a level of confidence to do that. Probably does come with being older and having had those experiences. So I can appreciate somebody of Leo's age and stage. It's incredibly different and difficult. And that whole thing of when do you disclose, when, you know, when's the right time? I don't know if there's ever a right time. I was just thinking, probably depends as well what you want out of the date. If it's just a casual, you know, 1 or 2 night, have a bit of fun, then, you know, it's not quite as important apart from, you know, your own safety and well-being. But obviously, if you're looking for a lot more long-term relationship than that whole thing of discussing, you know, you, your visual impairment, it's all part of the getting to know somebody and part of that longer process.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with that. Like, I'm a lot better at it now than I was like a couple of years ago. And like the topic of like dating apps first started coming up. I think it is a thing that will get better and it'll get easier as I continue. Like, it'll become easier to judge a person on like, is this something that's going to go for like the long term? And then it's easier to
judge when or like how is the right way to tell them.
And does using dating apps versus meeting someone in person kind of change when you tell them about your sight loss?
I did try dating apps when I got divorced, but I don't think, for me personally, that it ever worked out because I couldn't be who I was. And I think concentrating on what I was interested in, you know, what radio presenting or whatever interest that I had, I was more likely to find friends. And therefore, well, I didn't know he fancied me. I mean, I'm completely oblivious to things like that. And but just to have nice people to talk to and just enjoy going down to the studio and just having fun. And if, you know, something came from that, which was great. But I wasn't doing it to look for that. I just was doing that to just create my life, really.
I think dating friends can be good because if you've got that level of connection anyway. But of course, I'm sure we've all, and I'm sure your listeners have all got experiences of when you've totally misfed the signals with a friend and the last thing you want to do is lose a good friendship. I think dating apps, you know, I met my current wife on a dating website. Part of me wishes that there were dating apps when I was, you know, as I said earlier, sort of at uni and everything. But equally, they have a bit of a minefield, the whole thing of a lot of it is very visual based. And whilst making decisions based on how somebody look, I know it can be important to people. Mine's always been more about the personality. And certainly my experience of apps is it's a lot more about, you know, how somebody looks and what that's like. And I want to get to know the person. So I've probably had experience of both. I think in the long run, if you can be the most authentic you can be, then I think you'll get to know pretty soon whether the person you're dating or interested in is interested in you as the person or whether there's something else going on. So yeah, if you share hobbies, interests, I think that's a good start.
I mean, I've been like on and off like quite a few different dating apps. They're sometimes difficult to navigate in terms of like what, like people are on there for different reasons. Like some people are looking for something long term, some people are looking for something short term. I've never been on like a date with a friend. I've had like friends before who I've had like kind of those romantic feelings for. Those feelings have never been the same from the other friend. Luckily for me in those situations, that hasn't like made a friendship awkward or anything. And it's just something that we move on from. And with a couple of them, it's just something that like we have a laugh with now.
And when you do first meet someone you like, does sight loss kind of impact the way you flirt or how you pick up on other people flirting with you?
Apparently I'm quite a flirt. I mean, obviously, you know, I have no vision, so you don't get the whole winks and smiles and whatever, you know, but I'm very tuned into what somebody says, how they say it to you, so I could probably tell if somebody is being a bit flirty. I don't know if it has changed it that much for me, having gone from, you know, low vision to no vision. But I think again, it is a whole minefield of picking up on, is someone flirting or they're not flirting? Is it inadvertent? I mean, obviously you get into the whole realms as well of people who might be neurodivergent, and there's a whole different element there in terms of reading social cues. But equally, I think flirting is just good fun.
As I said, it was my current partner that was friendly with me, but he wasn't really flirting. We were just friends. And my husband's not really a flirt, but I can get flirty. I'm very touchy. I'm a very touchy person. And that's what tends to do for me. I have noticed that I was talking to one guy sometime, and he started touching me back, and I thought, he's flirting with me. I didn't want to get there. I wasn't doing that. I was just being friendly. I was just interested in him because he had a good story to tell. So I do have to watch what I do, but I just tend to do naturally. I tend to do it for fun and I'm just friendly, but I don't do it for a purpose. I don't do it to flirt with people. I cannot do that. I'm just friendly and interested in people. And some people take it a bit too far.
And a lot of blind and partially sighted people that we talk to here at the station have experienced non-consensual, unsolicited touch from people they don't know or people they do know who kind of think that they're being helpful. But do those experiences impact how you feel when people you're flirting with or dating are physically affectionate with you?
Yeah, I've got no peripheral vision. And so if anyone just reached out and touched me, that will make me jump as well. If people just approach me and I don't see them, I just jump. They get worried because I really do. I think I physically jump as well. I think people get put off by that. But no, I don't mind being, I'd rather be touched because I know someone's there. I'd rather be holding on to someone. I do these clubs and stuff, and the volunteer, we sometimes go to the bus stop together, and I'm always grabbing their arm and going, I'm just taking your arm. You don't need to guide me. I'm just taking your arm so I know you're there. So I do use touch just as a way of being. I think my sense of touch has always been quite well developed because, like, I really couldn't see as a kid. So I've had poor eyesight for a long, long time. And it runs in the family as well. So my dad used to say, you know, his mum used to feel stuff, to feel the quality of stuff. So, yeah, I always want to touch stuff when I'm out shopping and stuff like that. So the very last date I had on an app before I started going out with my current partner, it was in COVID times, and he wanted to do the elbow touch to say goodbye. And this was saying goodbye because I've been told, and I absolutely hated touching this man that I didn't want to touch. And he just insisted on doing the elbow touch goodbye. And I just thought it was the yuckiest thing ever.
Just going to echo Karen's points. I think I am quite tactile. That whole touch thing is one of my love languages. And I'm not even romantic, you know, good friends. I echo Karen's points about flinching. Because even my wife, if I don't know she's going to touch me or hug me or whatever, I can be like, what are you doing? So I think certainly when it comes to people I don't know, I mean, that whole thing of non-consensual touching is a massive issue, particularly for blind and partially sighted people. But, you know, if you're a sighted person listening to this, I think my advice would just be, you know, perhaps if you're ending on a date, you know, can I give you a hug or can I just take your hand? I mean, you know, not trying to cut down on spontaneity, but there's probably just a level of, it all comes down to communication, doesn't it? Communicating in whatever way works for you and just being clear about that, what you like and don't like.
And for me personally, like in terms of like dating friends, I am probably also quite a touchy person. Like I'm a big hugger. So like I'll normally give my family and friends like lots of hugs. But if I was on a date with someone, I wouldn't want them assuming that like it was okay to like even like grab my arm or something without asking. I think that's sometimes a thing that people don't think about with blind and partially sighted people. Like you still need to ask for permission and consent to do that because not everyone's okay with it.
Following on from that lack of awareness, have you come across any frustrating misconceptions when you've been on dates with people?
Well, I was just going to say probably the first misconception is before you even get to dating is that, well, you're blind. Why would you want to date? Why would you want to be in a relationship? Because I'm a person like everybody else. But then, yeah, I think once you get beyond that, there's just that whole level of, you know, as blind and partially sighted people that we have to do every day if we're with somebody that, you know, doesn't know much about it and having to explain. You know, people asking me, do you work? It's like, well, yeah, I do work because, you know, blind people can work. So I can just see, you know, when you're on a date and that whole thing of meeting somebody for the first time, I can just imagine there's a whole, and I have had this, a whole other level of conversation that, you know, there's curiosity about you, but then it can get to the whole where people are just like thinking, my God, you're a blind person. How do you do this? How did you get to this restaurant for the date? And it's like, look, that's just you seeing me as a thing, as an entity, not as a person. Yeah, I think you can tell when people have just got that curiosity about you as a blind person, because you might be the only blind or partially sighted person they've met before. And for me, that would be a huge turn off.
For me, it is it's kind of a big no on a date if that's all they want to talk about. And if they like ask those questions of like, oh, like, so how did you get here if you don't drive? Like, how did you find the restaurant? Like, how do you know what food you want? When, like, me and a date have gone into, like, conversations about life and they find out I work part-time as well as doing uni and I work in retail part-time, they always have the questions of, oh, well, like, how do you work in retail? Like, it's a lot of, like, tills and how do you know, like, where stuff is in the shop that you work in? It's just a thing of, like, we are still people. We don't necessarily live the same way as sighted people do. We don't do things the same way. But that doesn't mean we can't do those same things. It doesn't mean we can't work, we can't go on dates and stuff.
Yeah, I guess one of the most exciting things about dating is feeling like someone's interested in you and the things you care about and being able to show that interest to someone else.
Yeah, because a lot of the dates I've been on, I am the first visually impaired person they've met. Some of them do genuinely want to know more, kind of educate themselves in a way if they ever meet another visually impaired or blind person. But it gets like frustrating for me when that's the center of the entire conversation. Like, my vision isn't something that I'm like embarrassed to talk about, but it's also not something that I want to talk about all the time.
Yeah, I was just going to echo Leo's point. You know, my blindness, I'm open about it. Yes, it has an impact on my life. The fact I'm trans, I'm open about that. But I am so much more. You know, I love music. I love art. I love all sorts of stuff. If you want to get to know me, get to know me. There's so much more to me than those two particular aspects.
You know, all the dates that I went on, I didn't get many questions about what's wrong with your eyes or anything like that. They were not bothered, the men that I went out with. I think they were only interested in one thing and I wasn't interested in them for that reason. I think the only thing that put them off was I couldn't drive to their house, you know, for a nightly bunk up or whatever, because I couldn't drive. I couldn't do some of their interests. The last guy I went on wondered how I could do paddleboarding with him. I never expressed an interest in paddleboarding. If I wanted to do it, I could work out a way, but it wasn't part of who I was. When I met my partner, he interviewed me, because he interviewed me for the volunteer role, and they were wondering how I was going to do it. But I just, everything they came up with, I said, oh, I can do this. I'll take a photo of the burglar alarm and look at it through there and press that button. I can see all that. He was really good. When we started going out, he was a bit more protective of me and saying, oh, you shouldn't be doing this. If you can't see, you shouldn't be doing that. If you can't see. But once he got cancer himself, he doesn't come up with the same things anymore. He's like, don't care. People treat me different. So I've got cancer if I tell them that, but I don't bother anymore. So he realizes now that it's just part of who you are. It's just, I have to guide you. It's hard work guiding you sometimes, because we went to London the other week and he had to guide me around London and there was loads of people and crossings and stuff. And he was like, oh, I've got to stay for the right crossing because you're not crossing the road. I'm like, no, I'm waiting until it's clear. I can't see. So he did sort of have some, you know, his eyes opened a bit more recently. But yeah, we do what we need to do. And I've adapted to what he likes doing. He likes walking on hills and stuff. And I like walking. So he does it with me. But as I said, I don't think people have ever sort of asked me questions about my sight. It's just like, oh, come with you. How do we do this? He just basically says, I want to do this. Do you want to do it? If so, how do we do it? That's how we work.
The one thing that really annoys my wife about the fact I'm blind is that when we're out and about, they will guide me. And, you know, like Karen, we go to London, we've just come back from New York, you know, really busy places. And there's a functional aspect to guiding, and my wife often says, I just want to hold your hand like other couples do. And okay, if we're somewhere it's quieter, perhaps in a park, and you know, I'm fairly confident and comfortable, it's nice to just, you know, hold the hand like any couple would do out and about. So I think if there's anything in terms of sort of relationships or aspects, I think for us it's probably that thing. When we're out and about, they become the guide, the you know, the carer. And it's things like, you know, if you're having a big strop, well, they can't just wander off and leave you. Well, they could if you're having a massive strop. But it's just, it is little things like that that people don't appreciate, that, you know, being blind, being partially sighted does take away a certain level of autonomy and independence that obviously impacts all aspects of our lives. But there's an extra dimension to it when it comes to relationships and dating.
I get the strops bits, because when I could see, I would strop off and walk away. I've done that so many times to my ex-husband when I've had a big strop on, and I can't do that anymore, as you say. So when we go walking, I actually have a little lightweight white stick in my bag that if anything happens to him, that I've got a white stick to show people that I can't see, because I'm paranoid that something's going to happen to him or whatever, and I won't be there. So I always have my big white sticks if we're going out in towns and stuff. But if we're going walking on the hills and I don't want to carry that stick on my backpack, I have a lightweight one just to think, I can't see. Because, I mean, a normal white stick is useless on grass and stuff. So, and I've got the three little words on my phone, so that if anything happens, I can ring up and do it all. The three little words app that tells you where you are in the country, either where you are, because I'm paranoid of being left and being not being able to get back. I was practically go somewhere that I know. I mean, even going around London, I was going, oh, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. And when we were really lost, I couldn't have that screaming fit that I would have had with my ex-husband, that I'd have gone panicking and walking off. I had to calm myself down and work out where we were.
And how do you keep the boundaries between building the trust that you need to have someone guide you and support you with your sight loss and the trust that you're building with or have built with a romantic partner?
I think it can be really difficult. There is that tension. There is, yeah. But on my side, I'm quite tall. I have dated women. So it tends to be I'm taller, and I might inadvertently, when I go to put my hand out, touch them on a boob or something. Totally innocuous. I didn't mean it. And I will just say, oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do that. But if it's the other way around, you know, you can see where that could be abused, or somebody could say, oh, no, I was just trying to guide you. It's like, well, no, you weren't, because I didn't want to be touched. So I think it is just part of all of the delicate balance and that extra level of need for communication that's required when you're blind or partially sighted and in a relationship.
I had lots and lots of I even had a relationship that went on for about 6 months, but I never slept with any of those men that I met off those dating sites. I was just too scared to, absolutely terrified. It took me a while to build up the trust.
Yeah, I think it can be hard, because in a way it's almost a completely different level of trust, because in like a general relationship you just kind of trust someone to know you and have that respect and care for you, whereas like when it comes to guiding, you're literally trusting someone to guide you around to get you to where you need to be, and you're trusting them to do that. It can be hard to like get to both levels of trust.
What is one of the biggest lessons, either about you or about dating, that you've learned you think it would be helpful for others to hear?
One of the biggest things I've learned through going through it for like a couple of years, like in a way, I don't need to question myself when it comes to my vision impairment. I don't need to question when it's a good time, how the other person is going to react. Because at the end of the day, if that person doesn't like the fact that I'm visually impaired, if they're uncomfortable with that in any way, if they don't like it in any way, then that relationship would never work. Like we've said before, it's not the biggest part of me. Like there is so much more to me than that, but it is a part of me that they'll have to deal with. They'll have to get used to it.
And how about you, Karen?
Well, I think I did well when I got some counselling. When I was married for quite some long time, and then I, you know, got divorced and lost my sight roughly exactly the same time. Very traumatic times. And I think that's the best thing, is that you get help to work out what you want from a relationship, how you want a relationship going forward, and also to be happy with the relationship that you do find. And it doesn't matter whether it doesn't work for other people. If it works for you and your partner, then it's perfect.
And how about you, Sarah?
Yeah, I think my biggest lessons are be yourself, and you are worthy. And I get that probably sounds a bit cheesy, and your listeners are probably thinking, yeah, but you can say that, Sarah, because you're happily remarried. And I am, but I've been there. You know, I've had sight loss all my life to one degree or another, but losing all my vision also coincided with coming out as trans. And at that stage in life, I really was thinking, well, who's going to want me now? You know, who is going to want me now? And it wasn't easy. I've had some, you know, pitfalls with dating. But yeah, I am remarried and I'm happily remarried and I have a wonderful relationship. And like Karen said, you know, I had some counselling through that. But I think the lesson I have learned, whether it's dating or anything in life, is don't sell yourself short. And there's more than one person out there for you. And have fun, you know, be yourself.
Well, thank you so much, Karen Y, Leo Johnson and Sarah Stevenson-Hunter, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio Roundtable Talks.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.